Thank you, Rolling Tones. Church of the Warm Heart, good morning. You made it. Congratulations. You remembered. Way to go, way to go, way to go. And if you're joining us online, whatever time zone you are in, we are blessed to have you with us as well. It's good to have you. My name is Michael Beneshek. I'm one of your Warm Heart staff members here. And it's just a pleasure to be here and worship with you today. If you're a first-time guest with us today, hello, welcome. We are blessed to have you with us. And we pray that you find that this church is indeed the Warm Heart Church. Do me a favor, turn to your neighbor and just tell them, I'm glad you're here today. Come on up. We invite you to sign in. Every row, every pew has a red attendance pad. Sign in. Tell us that you're here. Just look, do that again, Nicole. Thank you. Sign in. Tell us that you're here and pass it on down the row. Couple people have asked, Pastor Mike, how is the Fixin' to Fix the Roof campaign going? And Don Brister is up here to give us a short update.
You will be glad to know that this is the shortest time I will ever spend at this podium. You could have stood up, but I'd have got a standing ovation. All right, 2 weeks ago, we said we're going to fix the roof. $54,000 as of right now, as of last Monday, we have $13,898 has been pledged, 26%. Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord. Thank you, God. Pastor Jen is our worship leader today. We get 3.5 more months here with Pastor Jen before she becomes the senior pastor at Southside Nampa. But we're going to use her for the next 3 months as most we can. So Jen, what's going on in the life of the church?
I'm going to direct you to the back of your bulletin. We would greatly appreciate your donations of individually wrapped candies for our upcoming Easter egg hunt. Donations can be brought to Malia or placed in the basket in the Narthex. All of the donations are greatly appreciated for our kiddos. Also, we are assembling care packages. So the care team is assembling care bags and are looking for donations of individually wrapped pens, notepads, or sticky notes, teas or hot chocolate packets, crackers, soft granola bars, Kleenex, or other goodies. So anything that you have for donation would be appreciated. Am I forgetting anything? No? All right. I think that's it for today then.
All right. And the choir is going to remind us of the time change. Let's take a moment, greet those around us in Christian love, and remain standing for the opening hymns.
Thank you.
remain standing and join with me in voice and spirit for our affirmation of faith. The words will be on the screen. There is one God, and there is one mediator, Christ Jesus, who came as a ransom for all, to whom we testify. This saying is sure, worthy of full acceptance, that Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners, and was manifested in the flesh, vindicated in the spirit, seen by angels, proclaimed among the nations, believed in throughout the world, taken up in glory. Great indeed is the mystery of the gospel. Amen. Please be seated.
Unless you're a kiddo, like fifth grade on down, come on down. Oh. Go ahead, come on down. Good to see you guys. Yep. Scoot forward as far as you can. We got to make room for everybody here. Good to see you. Oh. Good to see you. Awesome. Gotta get my wallet here. Awesome. What do you keep in a wallet?
Money.
Keep money. Unless you have kids, and then it's not so much.
I have money.
You got money? That's cool.
I have only $7.
Seven? Wow, that's a lot. You have a piggy bank? You got zero? I only got one thing in here, and then it's empty. Yeah.
I got money.
How do you get money? How did you get it? You get a job. That's right. All of you, get a job. And I can't quite do it yet, right? Actually, this is an old $5 bill from 1950. That's pretty cool. Oh, yeah. It's Abraham Lincoln, so yeah. No, I prefer Franklin's and Grant's, yeah, over George any day. Ah, it's all right. Calm down. So how else do you get money so you can get a job? What else? Hold on, sir. What else can you do to get money? Yeah. Chores. You can do your own jobs at home, right? Sir, let's not do that, please. Thank you. Thank you. Chores at home? For picking weeds? Yeah. Jobs. That's the number one way to get money is jobs. Now, granted, maybe you can get some birthday cash or something like that, but someone had to work to get that money to give to you. When people say, Pastor Mike, I'm broke, where should I go? And the only thing I know to say is there's a great place to go when you're broke. You go to work. Surefire money-making scheme is what it is. Yeah. A friend of mine once told me that every dollar bill is a certificate of appreciation. It's a certificate of appreciation where you say thank you to someone for giving you stuff or for giving you. If you gave time at a job, they say thank you with money. So if I'm at home then, and give me a chore that I should do at home.
I fold the laundry.
I'll fold the laundry. And if I go to my spouse, whom I love with all my heart, and I say, I folded the laundry, where's my $5? How's that going to go?
Not very well.
No. And she would win on this game of chores if chores were cash. And if I say, can you go out and rake the leaves? In our own lawn. And he comes in and says, great, where's my paycheck? You get to live here. That's your paycheck. Some chores you might get money for. That's awesome. And some chores we just do because we're part of the family. That's most of your chores? Yeah. Well, welcome to the real world. It's good to get to understand life lessons early. Yes. We're talking in big church about service, how we care for others, how we help other people. Sometimes there's money involved, but most of the time when we are in Christian service and we love each other and we care about each other, we do it out of the kindness of our hearts. And the Lord looks down on that really, really well. So not all our jobs we get cash for, but we get blessings in other ways. And some of the best times that I've felt good in my own heart is when I was able to help someone with the skills that I have. And just because God told us to love each other. And that's one cool way to do. But hopefully someday you'll get good jobs. Someday you'll get the money you need to survive and have wonderful adventures. And some things we just do because we're part of God's family. Can you pray with me? God above, we give thanks for these little ones that as they grow in love and godliness, that we surround them and their parents and their communities with just love, grace, and mercy. It's in your son's name we have this hope. Amen. Thanks for coming down. Good job. Thanks, Tammy.
What are the prayers of our church family today? If you have any prayer requests or concerns that you'd like to share with your neighbor, this is the time of our service where we share them aloud. And then I will lead us in our pastoral prayer and the Lord's Prayer, which the words will be on the screen. Let us pray. Gracious and loving God, thank you for this beautiful day. and for the opportunity to come together as a church family to worship you. Please continue to bless the ministries of this church. Lord, we look to you for guidance. Use us for your glory and your purpose. For we are your hands and feet, and help us to be your ears and your eyes. Help us to be able to see one another with love and with mercy and with compassion, so that we may hear and respond to the need in our world, and so that we may serve with a Christ-like humility. And so today, Lord, we come together and pray and worship you. And we pray the prayer that Jesus taught his disciples to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
So in a moment, Pastor Jen will be reading scriptures for us, and the very first scripture comes out of Exodus. One of the stories out of Exodus is Moses talking to the burning bush. And the Lord, speaking through the burning bush, tells Moses to go down and tell Pharaoh, let my people go. There's a famous spiritual attached to this. It's in our hymnal. In 26 years of ministry, I've never done it congregationally. We're going to give it a shot. It kind of had, how many manly men do we have out there with the deep voices? Got a few? Got a few. You're going to lead us in this. Let's stand and sing. Go down, Moses.
Our scripture lesson today is from Exodus chapter 3, verses 7 through 10, and the Gospel of Mark chapter 9, verses 33 through 37. The Lord said, I have indeed seen the misery of my people in Egypt. I have heard them crying out because of their slave drivers, and I am concerned about their suffering. So I have come down to rescue them from the hand of the Egyptians and to bring them up out of that land into a good and spacious land, a land flowing with milk and honey, the home of the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Amorites, the Perizzites, the Hivites, and the Jebusites. And now the cry of the Israelites has reached me, and I have seen the way the Egyptians are oppressing them. So now go. I am sending you to Pharaoh to bring my people, the Israelites, out of Egypt. And now the passage from Mark. They came to Capernaum. When he was in the house, he asked them, "What were you arguing about on the road?" But they kept quiet because on the way they had argued about who was the greatest. Sitting down, Jesus called the 12 and said, "Anyone who wants to be first must be very last and the servant of all." He took a little child whom he had placed among them. Taking the child in his arms, he said to them, "Whoever welcomes one of these little children in my name welcomes me. And whoever welcomes me does not welcome me, but the one who sent me." May God add blessings to the reading of this word.
Thank you, Jen. So a lot of this homily this morning will be a history lesson. So strap in and get ready. I was in the third grade, about 8 years old with, is that third grade? Something like that, like the kids down here. And I was thumbing through, we had a little bit of free time, and they had all the Encyclopedia Britannicas on the wall. You remember those? Yeah, you have to tell your neighbor what those were if you're at a certain age. But I remember just opening it up to the T's, and I was just thumbing through, and I came to the entry of the Titanic. It even had a picture in the encyclopedia. That's the one. Tell me that doesn't scare an 8-year-old, right? And it captivated me. April 1912, 112 years ago, next month. So I wanted to learn about the Titanic. It was such a mystery because at the time, we had no idea where it was. It would be found, you know, several years later, but we didn't know that at that time. And I could just imagine this ship all by itself in the dark North Atlantic, black at night, no moon that night, totally alone in the dark, and the ship going as fast as it can, smacking into an iceberg, creates this huge gash in the starboard side right below the waterline. How big was that gash, if you had to guess? If you had to guess, how big was the gash that sunk the Titanic, the largest ship ever made at that time? So just for fun, check out our stage. So you see the brick wall back here, the rock wall that we have. Was the gash bigger or smaller than the size of our brick wall? Smaller. All right, some of you were there, so you know. Smaller. The glass panes right over here, was the gash bigger or smaller than the glass panes? Smaller. You're guessing because you know where this, you know, if I'm asking. Bigger or smaller than the front of our altar here? Actually, it's the same size. Trick question. Same size. That's the size of the hole that the ship had that sunk the thing. Not that big at all. It's smaller than our double doors. That's why it took so long to sink. Matter of fact, 2 hours and 40 minutes from striking the berg to going under. Now, it wasn't one gash. It was several little gashes along the way, but it added up to about that size. Lusitania sunk in 20 minutes. The Arizona in Pearl Harbor, 14 minutes. But small hole, water pouring in, took 2 hours and 40 minutes. What that meant was they had time to know that this was bad. They had time to know that it's time to find a lifeboat. Unlike the image that I had of a small ship or a ship being out there all alone, there were other ships within visual range. Ships usually travel together along the same shipping lanes. They don't do this thing alone, but they're all kind of going together to keep an eye on each other. Let me tell you about two other ships, and I promise there's a sermon in here somewhere. Consider the Californian. As the Titanic was sinking, the lights of another ship were visible on the horizon. There's the Californian right there. They had stopped for the night because they heard of icebergs in the area. And it was only 5 miles away. 5 miles. According to witnesses on the Californian. The Titanic's crew tried to signal this ship by Morse code messages, by blinking lights, by rocket flares. And the crew of the Californian reported seeing the lights being flashed. The ship was also not moving. The Titanic, that is. So they wondered how it eventually just disappeared out of sight. They thought little of it. They also did not receive the wireless messages. They had turned their radio off for the night. But the white flares that went up, the Titanic sent up 8, and the Californian said, "We saw 8 fireworks go up." And they told the captain 3 times. They woke him up 3 times. Something's going on. And the captain, dead, 2 o'clock in the morning, they're having a party, shooting off fireworks. So the Californian, an empty ship with no passengers at that time, sat by while 1,500 people drowned. It could have easily rescued most, according to the inquiry, but the captain did not believe there was a problem, unwilling to be bothered in the middle of the night. Another ship. Consider the Carpathia. As the Titanic sank, there's the Carpathia there. Her wireless operators tried heroically to find another ship close enough to come to its rescue. And a little after midnight, they did catch the Carpathia, a small British ship 58 miles away. The Titanic's message, SOS, come at once, we have struck a berg. The radio operator of the Carpathia caught the first officer, and they barged into the captain's quarters. Woke him from a sound sleep, and when he heard the message, the captain jumped up. "All right, tell them we are coming as fast as we can." Here's a description of their captain. He was noted for his piety. Here's a picture of him. Noted for his piety, neither smoked nor drank, never used profanity. Can you imagine a ship captain? Never used. And was known for his prayer life. And the captain gave every command he could think of for the rescue mission. All routine work was cut off, and everyone jumped to their post. All gangway doors open, all rigging along the ship's sides. Block and tackle made ready to hoist boats, and slips and slings were ready to lift the injured. They only had a ship that can go 14 knots. Not that fast. We're talking 25 miles per hour, if. And it would take about 4 hours, they imagined, to reach the Titanic. The captain determined to do better. All off-duty stokers, the people who shoveled the coal, everyone, go shovel coal. We're turning off all the electricity, all the hot water in the ship, so everything can go to the engines. And they get 14 knots, 15 knots, 16 knots, 17 knots, faster than ever been, going through the dark, just hoping to make it there. But they're going through an area with icebergs. One ship has already met its demise, but here they go. Extra lookouts in the crow's nest. Captain called the stewards together, told them the plight, and we have a job to do, and this is what he told every man. Every man to his post, and let him do his duty like a true Englishman. So everyone's running around getting ready for this thing, and someone noticed the captain at the back of the ship, his hat off, in prayer. Of course, they got there too late for 1,500 people. But it was the only ship that rescued 700 people from the sea. No other ship arrived. Let me park that idea for a moment and examine two quick scriptures from Holy Writ, one from the old, one from the new. Moses encountering the burning bush. Moses, who grew up in Egypt, grew up in the palace of Pharaoh, found out later on in life that he also descended from slaves. He should not have been in the palace, but he should have been out in the field if heritage had anything to do with it. But fate struck him funny, and he grew up in the palace until he discovered, I should have been out there. And his life changed. I can't go into all the stories of Moses right now, but he went out into the wilderness. And he spent many a year out there, 40 years, out in the wilderness. He married the daughter of the priest of Midian. He became a shepherd. He just wanted to put that life behind him. And then he has a strange encounter with a burning bush. And out of the burning bush, the Lord says, I have seen my people's misery, and I am about to rescue them. I want you to pay attention to pronouns. The Lord says, I have seen my people's misery, and I am about to rescue them. And I could hear Moses thinking, thank God, it's about time. Where have you been, God? They've been in slavery for 400 years. But great, come on down. Come on down, God. Come on down and free those people. And that's when God drops the plan. I have seen my people. I am going to free them. Therefore, I am sending you to let my people go. And I could just imagine Moses going, say what now? I thought you were coming down to free these people. I didn't know I was involved in this little plan. Don't we sometimes say that? God, when are you going to come down and fix this? God, when are you going to come down and fix fill in the blank? Do me a favor. In a moment, I'm going to say, I am coming down to fix, and I want you to fill in the blank. I want you to say it out loud, okay? So think about your answer. You're all going to say it at the same time, so don't worry. No one's going to pay attention to what you say. God, I want you to come down and fix. Yeah. When are you going to come down and fix human trafficking? God, when are you going to come down and fix hunger, poverty, war? When are you going to come down and stop my neighbor's dog from barking in the middle of the night? God, when are you going to come down and fix the roof on this place? When are you going to come get my kids off drugs? And on and on and on and on. Whatever story that you have. And God's answer is usually a person-driven answer. I'm sending you. Or I'm sending someone to you. What problem has God put on your heart to heal? Into what situation can you bring joy? Sometimes people ask, Pastor Mike, I don't know what ministry I'm called to do. And sometimes my answer is, what breaks your heart? What's the thing that breaks your heart? I'll be honest, you can't solve every problem. It's too many, right? What's the one that breaks your heart? We're all called to serve. And I'm sure Moses thought about these people over the decades. Someone should sure help them out. And God called him into service. From the New Testament, the story of Jesus' disciples also mirrors God's intention for us to serve. Who is the greatest? The 12 looking at each other. Who's the greatest? There's Jesus. Got the 12 over there on the right. Who's the greatest? And Jesus flips the script on him. We're not here to be served. We're here to serve. Whoever welcomes this little child welcomes me. Who is the greatest? The one who serves. The one who gives comfort and care to minister. The word minister, when used in the Bible and even today, the etymology of the word still means the same. It means servant. We get the word minister from servant. We minister to the needs of others. In some countries, you find like the Ministry of Defense, Ministry of Education, Ministry of whatever it is. They are in service of those departments. Hey, disciples, we are called to serve, not to be served. So how to serve? It's kind of up to you. You can listen to someone. You can help someone out of a jam. You might not be the whole solution to someone's problem, but maybe one step into helping out. May cost a little time, a little effort, a little cash. This might sound counterintuitive, but you could also allow yourself to be served from time to time. Some of you wouldn't think twice of helping someone out, but would be mortified if someone had to give you a hand. Let them help you. Don't deny them the opportunity to serve. So in the end, I guess my question is this. Do you want to be the Californian? Or do you want to be the Carpathia? One ship that sat idly by and another ship that moved heaven and earth to save 700 souls. Someone could be counting on you. What happened to those ships in the end? I could just hear Paul Harvey saying, what'd he say? What's the rest of the story? Again, tell your neighbor who Paul Harvey is and why. The Californian, the ship that did nothing. Vilified in the press, their captain never regained his honor. The ship was sunk a few years later by a German U-boat. World War I came around. For the Carpathia, they were awarded medals by the survivors. Crew medals got bronze, officers got silver. Guess what the captain got? Got a gold medal and a silver cup presented by the unsinkable Molly Brown. Knighted by King George, later a guest by President Taft at the White House, presented with a Congressional Medal of Honor. The Carpathia, sunk by a German U-boat in World War I. There's a picture of it going down. That's actually a picture from the German U-boat taking a picture of the Carpathia going under the seas. They both shared the same fate. Pastor Mike, why should I serve? We're all going to die in the end anyway. Yeah, but you can lighten someone's load between now and then. Maybe someone could help lighten yours. I had a kid once say, if our job is to serve others, what are the others for? I see your point, but we're supposed to like help each other out in all this. The both ships shared the same fate, but remembered so differently. We all share the same fate, but we are remembered by either our love and dedication or by our ambivalence. Philippians says it like this. In your relationships with one another, have the same mindset of Christ Jesus. In humility, value others above yourselves, not looking to your own interests, it would continue, but each of you to the interests of others. My kids sometimes say, Dad, you end your sermons with cheesy lines. Like, I know, that's one of my gifts. And if I had a cheesy line to end this sermon on, it would be this. Be on the lookout for other people's SOSs out there on the open seas of life. And the family of God said, amen. As we come to the offertory, a word of thanks to those who faithfully participate in the giving to the ministries of this church. A lot of times at this time, I would share what's going on, like a ministry, something we're doing out and about. This is more of an administrative thing. Did you know that we do background checks here? We do. If you work with children, if you work with vulnerable adults, if you in other areas where it's necessary, we do background checks. You got to go to the police station, get your thumbprint, and we run checks to make sure our children and our adults are safe the best we can. Can I hear an amen? Amen. I had to do mine last week, and I think I passed. I think we're good. But I want you to know that your money not only supports ministries inside the church, outside the church, at home and abroad, but also to keep us safe and our kids safe and our adults safe. So that the love of God could be shown. Amen. Oh, I got to keep talking because one of our piano players is delayed. Here she comes. Everyone say hi, Debbie. Please stand for our doxology. God of all wisdom, as we bring our gifts to be dedicated this morning, we pray that you might open our ears, open our hearts to hear where you call us, and respond with trust and courage, so that we may find healing in our lives, our families, and our world. May these gifts bring healing to your creation. In Christ we pray. Amen. Our closing hymn, I think one known by all, they will know that we are Christians by our love. God is good. And all the time. They will know that we are Christians by our love. They will know that we are Christians. And if I wanted to make, I don't know, a 2024 additions to this song, they will know that we are Christians by how we tip at the restaurant. They will know that we are Christians by how we merge onto the interstate. They will know that we are Christians by how we listen, whatever it means for you. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. That as we celebrate this fourth Sunday of Lent, may God's love, blessings, and peace go with you all. Amen.
Oh.